Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, though apart, we meet in your name. We ask that each one of us might meet with you this morning, might experience your love, hear your word for our lives, and be filled with your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to begin with a song of praise, which acknowledges that we have our very being in God. It's in God that we live and move and breathe, and we have our hope in him. It's a song which the youth have recorded for us. It's not a song that I knew. So if you know it, obviously join in. But if you don't, I think you probably will be able to join in after not very long. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Abby, Jamie and Eleanor there. Thank you for that. So this is the third Sunday in the series which we're following during Lent, called Tenets of the King, looking at creation and our relationship with God's creation, and particularly thinking about the problem of climate change. And climate change is a subject which I think causes quite a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, and a lot of a kind of feeling of smallness and kind of inconsequentialness. How can we tackle this huge issue? And it can threaten to get quite overwhelming, I think, sometimes. So I thought it might be a good thing to think about how we can approach this this issue without actually being overwhelmed and becoming incredibly anxious. And last week, Chris was really helpfully saying that, you know, we should not be repenting of other people's sins, and we can't take on our shoulders wrongdoings over which we have no control. So that's a really helpful thing to remember. And later in the service, John is going to be speaking to us from God's word about how, when we are afraid and anxious and feeling overwhelmed, how with Jesus we can approach that, and how he helps us with that. But just for now, just for the next few minutes, I thought it might be helpful as well to think about our approach to climate change and how we respond to it, actually as an act of worship, as a response of love and praise to God for the world that he has made. So I'd like us just to watch a video. The music is music that you may remember if you were at St. Paul's quite a few years ago, that Stephen Hildreth and Gaz Thomas shared with us, but it's got some different images this time. So just sit back and enjoy, and give thanks and praise to God for the world that he has made. I hope that you did enjoy that, and that it will just help you as we take those small steps to look after our planet and creation, just to do that as a response of love and praise to God for what he's made, and not out of fear and anxiety, but out of joy. But quite often we do take what God has given us almost as our due, almost as our right. And as we come now to say sorry to God for where we've fallen short, let's remember that all that we have because of his love and his grace. So let's join together in saying these words. Lord of all life, grant us forgiveness for taking your goodness and gifts for granted. Forgive us our wrong attitudes and the poverty of our actions. Forgive us the words that we use to wound. Through your grace, inspire us to treasure all that you have created, the world around us, and all people, that we may love and forgive as you love and forgive us. Amen. And so may God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm now going to ask Dave if he could unmute and bring us this week's Bible reading, after which John will share God's word with us. So Dave, if you're there.
Yeah, I'm here. So the reading is taken from Matthew 14, starting from verse 22. And this follows on from the feeding of the 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boats and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boats worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can I get a thumbs up if you're hearing me okay? Good, thank you. Okay. Well, the title of this talk this morning is Do Not Fear. But as you will see when I get going, you might feel that I'm actually ramping up fear. But don't worry, stick with me. We'll sort it out. So let's have a word of prayer before I start. Father in heaven, you've said that your word is living and active. And so we ask, Lord, that you would just take your word and make it active in our lives today. Help it, Lord, to touch down in our lives in a practical outworking so that we might live for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, you don't need me to tell you that we're in the midst of a global pandemic. There is some good news because of the vaccination program, but people are still dying. And across the world, we've got a long way to go. And of course, we know that the economic impact is yet to be fully felt. It's right to say we're living in troubled times. And on top of that global pandemic, we also have an environmental crisis. And there's a lot going on that at all levels. Internationally, the United States has re-entered the Paris Climate Agreement, And the European Union is pressing ahead with the so-called Green Deal. That's a 55% reduction in greenhouse gases by 2030 and an aim to be climate neutral by 2050. And nationally in the UK, we support all of these objectives and we've set some very ambitious targets, including no new petrol or diesel cars by 2030, which is not long away now. And locally, Cheshire West and Chester declared a climate emergency in 2019 and aims to be carbon neutral by 2045. Now, whether you support these initiatives or not, they are current political realities. So with COVID-19 and the declared environmental crisis, we have reasons to be fearful. And anxiety levels are, of course, high. But some people think it's worse than that, for they fear that we are on the brink of a catastrophe. Let me read you a quote from the environmental activist Greta Thunberg. This is what she said to the World Economic Forum at Davos. And I quote, "Adults keep saying we owe it to young people to give them hope. But I don't want your hope. I don't want you to be hopeful. I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. And then I want you to act. I want you to act as you would in a crisis. I want you to act as if your house is on fire, because it is." These are quite scary words, aren't they? Greta Thunberg is panicking. She's afraid. She's fearful for the future. And she wants all of us to be fearful too. Well, should we be fearful? Are we on the brink of a catastrophe? Before we look at our scripture reading this morning, it may be just as worth to take a quick look at a historical perspective, because other generations before us have been here before. Think back to the second half of the 20th century. It was dominated by the nuclear arms race between America and Russia. Some of us may remember the Cold War policy known as MAD, and MAD stood for Mutually Assured Destruction. The UK used to operate a four-minute public warning system, giving you 4 minutes to get yourself undercover in the event of a nuclear attack. That system began in 1953, and it wasn't decommissioned until 1992. And then if we think further back before that, in the first half of the 20th century, the great fear was war. People had to live through 2 world wars in which millions of people died. So I would say every generation has its reasons to be fearful. Fear is always around us. So can we as Christians living today say confidently, "Do not fear"? What does our faith say to us in this climate of fear? Well, let's turn to the passage that Dave just read to us from Matthew 14. Now, this passage says nothing to us directly about the climate crisis, but it has a lot to say to us about faith and fear. Now, it's helpful to recall that right from the start of Jesus's ministry, he had been demonstrating that he is Lord over creation. His disciples were with him when he turned water into wine. They were with him in the boat when he commanded the storm to be still. And they had just seen him feed over 5,000 people with a few bread rolls and 2 fish. So much so that they had 12 baskets of scraps left over after everyone ate their fill. That day, they saw that Jesus could create something out of nothing. And now, as we get on to our passage, Jesus decides to go further still and set up a remarkable demonstration of his power over the natural world. Verse 22, Jesus dismissed the crowd of people that he has just fed, and he also sends the disciples away. Specifically, it says, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him. Now, the word translated made there, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, could equally be translated, Jesus insisted that the disciples got into the boat, or he compelled the disciples to get into the boat. Evidently, Jesus had his reasons for sending them ahead. Then in verse 23, we read that Jesus withdrew to a remote place to pray. Well, what happened to the disciples while Jesus was praying? Well, they were having a very hard time. Verse 24 tells us that they were rowing across the lake, but a squall had blown up and they were being buffeted by the wind and the waves, and their progress was slow. They'd been rowing for hours and they'd only gone a couple of miles. Then we read in verses 25 and verse 26, we see that things go from them from being difficult to being downright terrifying. You know, it was bad enough that Jesus had sent them out on their own. It was bad enough that they were being buffeted by the wind in the middle of the night. But now a ghostly apparition appears on the water and the disciples' hearts melt with fear. Each time I try to picture the situation in my mind's eye, there's no way I can see it but as a moment of sheer terror. What is this approaching the boat? Is this some creature of the deep? Or perhaps it's an evil spirit out to destroy them? No wonder, as verse 26 says, the disciples cried out in fear. But it was no evil spirit. It was no ghost. It was Jesus. Jesus doing what no human being can do, walking on water. Thankfully, we read in verse 27, Jesus calls out to his disciples and tells them, "It's okay. It's me. Don't be afraid." Then we read that something almost as remarkable as the sight of Jesus walking on water happens. Peter, realizing that Jesus is doing the impossible, asks Jesus if he can do it too. Verse 28, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," said Jesus. And Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk on the water towards Jesus. What incredible faith Peter has here. A moment ago, he was crying out in fear with all the other disciples, and now he's walking on the water to Jesus. Peter, in a few moments, has gone from fear to faith. Now, we don't know how far Peter walked before he got to Jesus, but once he got out on the water, something started to go wrong. Perhaps the wind got stronger and the waves got fiercer, but Peter's fear started to reassert itself over his faith. And who can blame him? You know, people can float on water and people can swim in water, but we cannot walk on it. And you can almost feel that internal tension in Peter as he wrestles between his faith when he looks at Jesus and the fear growing in his heart when he looks at the wind and the waves. Peter cries out in fear and he begins to sink, but Jesus immediately rescues him and helps him back into the boat. And look at the result of this terrifying encounter on the disciples. Verse 33, they worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." It's as if they had realized that Jesus is more than a teacher, more than a healer, more than a prophet. Jesus is God. Well then, what should our response be to the fears that we face? Well, like the disciples, we need to have faith in Jesus. Jesus is much bigger than any crisis or any fears that we have in our lives. If Jesus can walk on water and he can allow Peter to do it too, then no matter how difficult or impossible the things that we are frightened of, Jesus is greater than them. Pete Gregg, in his book on prayer, said, "I'd rather have a little faith in a great, big, unshakable God than a great, big, unshakable faith in a little God who's unworthy of the title." We need to have faith in a great, big God. I like that chorus we sometimes sing for the children. Our God is a great, big God. We need to have faith in that. There's some wonderful verses at the end of Romans chapter 4 speaking about Abraham's faith that say, "Against all hope, Abraham believed." Abraham knew what God had promised him, and even though things were looking bleak for him, he believed in God's promises, because Abraham knew that God was bigger than his problems. Now, going back to our theme of environmental concerns, it's important to realize that it's not our individual responsibility to save the planet. And it's not our responsibility as a local church either. The weight of the world rests on Jesus's shoulders, not ours. He is capable of bearing that weight. We are not. Now, does that mean, in the light of the challenges we face, that we sit around complacently waiting for Jesus to sort it all out, like rabbits caught in the headlights? No, of course not. I'd like to finish by suggesting a couple of things that we can do. Firstly, we should do the small things, because every little helps. Firstly, let's set a good example wherever we are. I was out for a walk recently and I met a friend who was carrying a shopping bag, and we were standing quite near a supermarket, so I asked him if he had just been doing some shopping. He said no, he hadn't. He'd just been out for a walk himself, and when he walks, he carries a bag with him to pick up litter. And I thought, what a good example he was setting. So let's set a good example. And let's practice good stewardship in any area we have responsibility for. This could be as simple as taking the time to sort out our household waste, recycling properly, or being careful not to waste unnecessary energy, or buying fairly traded products. Remember, we do these small things not out of a sense of fear, but out of a sense of care for the wonderful world God has given us. So that's the first thing. Do the small things. Secondly, pay attention to the big things. Our political leaders are making major decisions on environmental matters that will have a big impact on all our lives. So pray for them regularly. Ask God to give them wisdom and guard them from making bad choices. We saw in our reading, Jesus took time to pray. Shouldn't we take time to pray too? And some of us might wish to take this further and go on to engage with our national or local leaders so that a Christian voice is heard in the climate debate. In conclusion, let me say that no matter what we are fearful about, Jesus is Lord of all. This world is his. He made it. He will sustain it. And one day he will renew it perfectly. Even in the darkest circumstances, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, who calls us to follow him and not to live in fear, but in faith. The author C.S. Lewis once said words to this effect: "From the moment that you wake up each morning, all your hopes and fears rush at you like wild animals. And our first job in the day consists of pushing them all back and listening to that other voice and hearing again the words that say, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid, do not fear. Amen. Let me just very briefly close in prayer. Father in heaven, we just commit to you our great, big, beautiful world, and we ask you to take care of it. And we commit to you, Lord, our own personal and individual fears, and we ask you to speak these words of peace and trust in you over all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Ron, thank you. In the time of prayer that we have after the formal part of the service, I thought it might be good if people have circumstances they're facing or that others are facing where they need to remember that we have a great big God that we could share and pray about, or times when you have had to trust and God has indeed been there for you. So perhaps if you just thinking about that. But now we're going to come together, all of us, to pray. And Tricia is going to lead us in our prayers. Thank you, Tricia.
Good and gracious Lord, who has the power to lift our spirits, we thank you for the glorious sunshine we have seen recently. With the heralds of spring appearing and the coming of a freer society, as our nation takes positive steps in overcoming the pandemic, we pray for safety as we reopen our cafe and other church activities, including house groups. And we pray for all who may undertake the Kintsugi well-being course. We pray for those places where vaccinations are not widely available and steps to reduce infections not sufficient. And we thank you, Lord, for the positive progress being made by scientists and medics, and for the dedication and selfless service given by all working in the field. And we pray, Lord, for your continued support of them and their work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We see around us, Lord, the devastating effects of our neglect and mismanagement of your world, the destruction of wildlife and habitats, the profligate and ignorant way in which we use and dispose of resources, and the inevitable resulting pollution and destruction. Much of what we see can be frightening, but we have a great and glorious God, to whom all things are possible and in whom we trust. Give us wisdom and knowledge in all that we do. Forgive us the waste, destruction, and disrespect. Heal the earth, O God. Heal the earth, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Lord, we pray for those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit, and for those we no longer see. We remember before you all who have recently died and those grieving, especially Betty Howell and her family. Comfort and heal all who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. Give them courage, Lord, and hope in their troubles, and the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for the governments of the world, that they may seek peaceful solutions in their dealings with other nations and rule with justice and compassion. We especially pray for leaders as they seek to manage the challenges of the impact of the virus on manufacturing, travel, energy, hospitality, and many other industries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless those who lead the church's worship at this time in the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments. Draw your people close to you and give us leaders in church and state who will serve your people rather than themselves and will listen to the challenge of your word and your promises. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the children, teachers and support staff returning to schools this week. We pray, Lord, for their safety, application and social development. Help them, Lord, to excel in their strengths while persevering, combating their weaknesses. May they not be discouraged or frightened, and may they benefit from the renewed contact with contemporaries, teachers, and support staff. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Open our eyes, Lord, to see you and appreciate the beauty of your world, and be refreshed. Amen.
Tricia, thank you. So we are going to sing again now. It's to remind us that we can trust God and claim his promises. So as we come to the end of this part of our service, let's say a blessing together. You can join in the words in yellow. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." And so we say together, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen. Mm-hmm.